All right, on the count of three, here's what I'm going to need everybody to do here with me. If you're sitting, you know, relatively close to the aisle, you can lean in if you want to. But on the count of three, we're going to get a big, large group selfie here together at Mid-Current Church. We ready for this, everybody? There's some hands in the back. I like that. One, two, three. Boom. It's a little blurry, but we're going to go with it. Hey, welcome everyone to Mid-Current Church. As I said before, my name is Sten, and I am the pastor here, and this is a great week for you to be joining us. We're in the second week of a series called Selfie Centered. And no, the point of this series is not to encourage all of you to take more selfies. Our world is already full of enough people awkwardly posing to take awkward pictures of themselves. So instead, what I want to do over the course of this series is to talk about, have a conversation about with all of you, the good, the bad, and quite frankly, the ugly in the age of the internet. Because like it or not, that is, no matter you know how much we engage or don't engage, that is the age that we are living in, the age of the internet. And there is plenty of good, and there is plenty of bad, and quite frankly, there is plenty of ugly, right? Technology has a remarkable way to enhance our lives today. It really does. I know some of us may not be as technologically savvy as others, but technology really does have a remarkable way of enhancing our lives today. And yet at the same time, when so much of our lives are spent on YouTube or on TikTok or on Instagram or on Facebook, there is a ton of downside as well. Okay. Despite the ways that social media was designed to keep us connected, I would argue that sometimes, if we're not careful, the exact opposite thing is happening in many ways. Let me explain. The average number of friends, I looked this up this week, the average number of friends that people today have on Facebook is 338. The average number of friends that people have on Facebook, 338. Me, on the other hand, I'm glad you're sitting down for all this. I don't know if you knew this or not. I don't know if you knew that your pastor was so hip and so cool and so popular, but I actually have over 1,600 friends on Facebook. I don't know if you knew that or not. And some of them even live in other countries, so technically you could say that my popularity is worldwide. 1,600. Okay, now before you get too impressed with my popularity, perhaps you'd be surprised to know that on more than one occasion, I've expressed to my wife, Erica, how lonely I feel at times. Right? 1,600 friends could text, email, DM, instant message any number of people, anytime, anywhere in the world, and yet at times, feeling kind of lacking or lonely maybe or somewhat disconnected. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you know the feeling. In fact, statistics would suggest that there's a good chance that you do know that feeling. There's a 2020 survey that found that 73% of heavy social media users feel lonely in their day-to-day life. Okay. Take social media specifically out of the equation, and what do you get then? Well, there's a 2021 survey that found that one out of every three people from 29 different countries feel lonely, expressed that they feel lonely often, always, or sometimes. One in three from 29 different countries across the world express the feeling of loneliness often, always, or sometimes. One survey shows that the average American has only two friends they consider to be close, and yet another indicates that 25% of Americans say they have zero close friends. Something about all of this, it doesn't add up. 338 friends on Facebook and only two friends IRL. Which, in case you didn't know, that actually stands for social media lingo for in real life. Apparently these days you have to kind of specify what it is that you're talking about, right? We have, at any given moment, right, we are often linked to dozens, to hundreds, to maybe even thousands of other people all around the world, and yet we're often detaching from and disconnecting from interpersonal relationships in the very communities where we live. And I would argue that all of us, somewhere inside of us, maybe tucked away in some deep, dark corner of our hearts that we don't really let anybody else know about or see ever, I would argue that somewhere deep down inside of us, no matter how much time we spend on the internet, I would argue that somewhere deep down inside of us, we feel that tension. So connected to anyone, anywhere, at any given moment of the day, and yet so lonely at the same time. If I had to diagnose what it is that ails us today, here's what I would suggest. We're living for likes, but we're longing for love. If I had to diagnose what it is that it is that we're maybe experiencing today, this is what I'd say. We're living for likes, but we're longing for love. We're living for likes and follows and clicks and views and retweets. And most often we've figured out how to do that. We've figured out how to collect all those, and we've racked up at times. Some of us, man, we can rack up clicks and likes and retweets and views and follows, but we've racked quite a few of them up all over the place. We've gotten really, really good at it. But the truth is, no matter how many likes or swipes or views we get, we're still pretty lonely. We're still pretty empty, looking for, longing for some kind of real love or acceptance or validation, maybe somewhere, somehow. So the question is, what's happening? What's happening? See, I think we've convinced ourselves that online activity is the same or is a fair substitute for personal intimacy. And I'm not talking about sexual intimacy. I'm just talking about closeness between one another. I think we've convinced ourselves that online activity is the same as personal intimacy with someone else, but it's not. Online activity can be a really, really, really positive thing, a really, really, positive force of good in our lives. So don't send me emails about all the good things that, have happened to you online. I get it, right? It can be a powerful force of good in our lives and in our relationships, but it is not interpersonal intimacy and the connection and ultimately the love from one another that we long for and that we were designed for. And so the question then is, what are we missing really? What are we missing in this whole deal? So connected yet so lonely. What is it that we are missing in the whole equation? If we've got the likes but are longing for the love, what exactly is going on? Or at a time when we're more connected than we have ever been in the history of mankind, why are we so lacking then the relationships that actually contribute to our lives in really significant and meaningful ways? I think that we've forgotten. We've lost some sense, maybe, of how it is that this kind of love really works, right? The selfie-centered world in which we live in right now has lost sight of how it is that we actually give and receive love, IRL, in real life. And so I want to try to help us uncover how it is that we kind of rediscover that, right? So if you want to know how it is that love is really experienced among us, what I want you to do is turn with me to John chapter 1. There's something important you need to know about real love, right? Now, John was one of four people who wrote somewhat of an autobiography of Jesus's life that's included in the New Testament of our Bible. And these autobiographies were written in an attempt to help people know about God's love that is evident in the person of Jesus Christ, right? What's the most famous Bible verse? For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, right? So that's what these books were written about in a way, an attempt to help people understand God's love in the person of Jesus. So listen carefully then to what that really looks like, because what John writes here is describing something so unique, I think, about the very expression of love that we might be looking for. Here's what John writes. He says this. So the Word, this is a biblical, kind of a theological reference in a way to God in the beginning, right? It says, so the Word became human in the person of Jesus and made his home among us. right? The Word became human and made his home among us. And then he goes on to say, and he, this is Jesus, was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, right? God loved us so much that he became one of us. Some translations say the Word became flesh, right? He came to make his home among us so that we could catch a glimpse. What does it say? Now we have seen, right? He came to make his home among us so that we could catch a glimpse of his goodness and his faithfulness and his love for us in real life. Now, here's what we need to understand about this. There's something that I want us to understand about God and what he could have done in this situation, right? In an effort to communicate his love for us, God could have gone about this, in my opinion. He's all powerful. He can do anything. He could have gone about this in a totally different situation. See, here's what God could have done. God could have shouted his love from heaven. But instead, he showed us his love on earth. Could have shouted from heaven, but instead he showed us his love on earth. He became human. He became flesh. Could have shouted, but instead he showed us his love on earth. He could have sent one, you know, heavenly tweet across the, you know, clouds in the sky. He could have posted one, you know, cosmic Facebook message about how much he loved us, right? He probably would have had the most followers in the whole world, and he could have sent one big message to communicate to us how much he loved us, but he didn't do that. Instead, he showed up. He didn't shout from heaven. He showed up on earth into the very world in which we live. And here's what that says to me about the love that you and I give and receive today. Here's what that says to me, that real love, it isn't just communicated, it's demonstrated, right? The love that we long, we're living for likes, but we long for love, right? Real love isn't just communicated with our words. Oftentimes it's demonstrated with ourselves. It shows up in the flesh. It's not just communicated in a like or in a follow or in a thumbs up emoji. In a selfie-centered world, we're forgetting something. In a selfie-centered world, we're forgetting that presence is powerful. We're losing sight of the fact that our presence, physical presence, is powerful. Let me try to explain to you what I mean just a bit. As a guy, about a good 6 or so years ago, I was a pastor on staff at a church in Menominee, Wisconsin, not far from here, and I was one of 3 pastors and kind of the 3rd on the social totem pole in a sense, right? And so I'll never forget the Sunday that both of our other 2 pastors were both on vacation. And so it was just me and it was just the rest of our support staff kind of holding down the fort that day. And so that morning, we had 2 services and, you know, 500-600 people at times. And so that morning, the whole deal, here's what I did. I led worship. I was a, you know, church musician. I played my guitar and sang and did all that stuff. So that morning, I led worship. I led the band for our 2 worship services. I also preached at our 2 worship services. And then I taught like the new members lunch class after those 2 services were over that afternoon. And as I was wrapping up a very long day already, one of our office staff came to me with news that a family from our church was at the hospital in Eau Claire, 30 minutes away, and their elderly mother sadly was in the process of passing away. And they wanted a pastor to accompany them in the hospital room that day. So guess which one of the 3 pastors was available that afternoon? Yours truly. Okay, so now it's close to like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and I am absolutely spent. I mean, spent all morning on my feet, you know, early morning, rehearsing, get everything going, just sang 10 songs in total, just preached for like an hour or so in total, led an hour-long lunch class with new people, fielding questions and all that deal. And so as I walked into the hospital room, I kid you not, I had absolutely nothing left in the tank. On top of that, I was fairly new to the church. I didn't know this family extremely well, and I'm embarrassed to admit that I didn't know, or I didn't quite catch, or didn't quite remember the name of the mother who was passing away. And at a certain point, I got, you've been in these situations, I trust, before. At a certain point, I got too far into the situation to ask or to verify or to admit that I didn't know the name of the woman who was in the hospital that day. And I don't mean to make light of that situation. I'm just trying to describe the entire context for you here, right? And so I greeted the family outside the room. They got me up to speed on all that had happened. And soon we gathered around their mother's hospital bed. And eventually the family asked me, Sten, would you pray for her? Would you pray for our mother? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, I will do that. Right, should be easy for me, right? This is kind of what I do here, right? Typically, yes, but you got to remember, I'm absolutely exhausted, and I don't know this woman's name, so I don't remember exactly what I prayed for that day, but I do remember that it was disastrous. Okay, I don't remember the words that came out of my mouth, but I do remember trying to pray a lot about a lot of other stuff first, right? About the situation that we were experiencing and a lot of stuff about, you know, God in general, trying to, you know, pray about anything I could to prolong the inevitable moment when I might have to refer to this woman by a name that I did not know. And when the moment came, I couldn't avoid it. I remember trying to think of as many ways to talk about her without having to say a name out loud. So he's praying, you know, this kind of unending mumbling prayer already, and then it just ended with, you know, God, this servant of yours and this faithful woman here and this beloved daughter and sister and mother here before us, right? Again, I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm just trying to give you a sense of what's going on. In all honesty, it was a disaster. Right? Now, I want to assure you, in case you're nervous about anything here today, I want to assure you, God does not, will not ever grade our prayers, but this was hands down my worst and most pathetic performance in my life, right? Pastor or not, the most pathetic prayer I have ever prayed. Honestly, inside, I was mortified, embarrassed, just feeling like I wanted to crawl inside of a hole. I couldn't wait to say amen. And when I did, I walked out of the hospital room fully convinced that somehow, you know, the church would find out, you know, maybe the hospital staff would tell on me or the family or someone would be demanding my resignation letter for my performance in the hospital room. Kid you not, it was not good. And I could not wait to walk out of that room. And I felt so badly, honestly, I felt so badly for this family that had to endure my exhaustion and quite frankly, my just stupidity that day. Felt horrible about it. My goodness. They got me in the midst of all that. Felt horrible about it. And yet in the weeks and the months to follow even, whenever I saw this family, they could not express their gratitude enough. In fact, they had a private graveside memorial for their mother. And guess who they wanted to kind of preside over that graveside memorial? Not the pastors they had known for a lot longer than me. Not the pastors who were older than me and more experienced than me and most likely never had a, you know, awkward prayer like the one I prayed. They wanted me. Okay? And the reason why, they told me this. They were so moved and so touched and so eternally grateful, they told me, for my comfort and for my prayers, and most of all, for what? For my presence that day. Folks, the words that I may or may not have communicated, they didn't matter. Why? Because presence is powerful. Right? Real love and intimacy and care and connection with people in our lives, it isn't just, can be, but it isn't just communicated in words. It's demonstrated. It shows up in real life for the people and for the places around us that matter the most. So Midcurrent, let me ask you a question today. How present are you in the world in which you live? Right? Are you choosing to show up for in real life the places? Are you showing up for the places and for the people that matter most, right? Is it possible that there is any part of you that is really kind of measuring and dealing in likes and clicks and views and tweets when really you are looking for love and connection and a sense of intimacy with others? If there is even the smallest part of you that answers yes to those questions, yeah, maybe that's me, then what I want to do for the rest of my time is just to make a few simple suggestions for you. If there's some sense of you that says, you know what, regardless of if this is really in social media or just another part of life, if there's some sense of you that says, you know what, Sten, you might be right. Maybe I am living for likes and I'm ultimately longing for love. I want to make a few suggestions for you. Here's the first one. Get engaged. And no, I don't mean ask somebody to marry you. I mean choose to get engaged in a community around you, to start showing up in the neighborhood, in the community, maybe in the church, right? I understand that in all these places, I get it, we need to be wise about how it is that we physically show up in places today. I'm very sensitive to that, but the reality is far too many people have stopped showing up for other people in their life, not because they're cautious, but because they're lazy. Right, too many people today have the ability to show up safely into the world today, but have just gotten into the habit of not having to. Okay, clicking and liking on Instagram is a lot easier. Connecting on Facebook is a lot more convenient, and truthfully, watching church online is so much more comfortable in pajamas on the couch. I love what the author of the New Testament letter, Hebrews, urges followers of Jesus. This is what it says. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, right? Don't stop getting together. Don't stop connecting. Don't fall into the habit of not showing up into the places in your life that are good for you, that matter to you. Don't stop being there for each other and encouraging each other as often as you can. Right? Later this fall, even, we're going to have two different types of opportunities and environments for you here at MidCurrent to show up and to get engaged with others here, right? The MC Connections, we've done it before. It's a four-week environment, and it's a super easy way to get to know others here really fast and really well. And then later on after that, we're going to create some small groups that are just going to give you a kind of a short-term window to have the opportunity to connect with others even a little bit more and to discuss each week's message here on Sunday just a little bit further. And I hope, right, maybe it's this environment or maybe it's something else, but I hope that you would just choose to commit yourself now. Commit now, these will be places or somewhere else will be a place that you choose to show up this fall, that you choose to engage with this fall. It could be the decision that changes everything for you. We got to get engaged because our presence is powerful. Here's number two, right? If we would admit that we're living for likes, but that we're really longing for love, and if it's true that our presence is really powerful, here's number two, and it's very blunt and it's very straightforward. So let me say it. Number two, put down your phone. Okay? You ever sat across, from someone who you could tell was just fighting every urge to just look down and see, you know, whatever flash or ring or beep was trying to get their attention, right? People are convinced that they can do this kind of subtly, right? But everybody knows what they're doing, right? That they're not fooling everyone. And eventually the little notification that's flashing or dinging or beeping, it's too much, right? And right in the middle of the conversation, right, they pull out their phone and they start texting or checking or swiping, right? It's maybe one of the most devaluing experiences that the person across the table from this can experience. And I know that because I've felt it and I've done it to other people. And it's sad, right? Because we're sitting right in front of the very people, right? In the flesh, in real life. We're sitting right in front of the very people that can provide that love that we long for, and yet we trade it for the likes of someone who is not even in the room. We're sitting face to face with what it is that I think our hearts are longing for, and we trade it for the likes and for the clicks and for the swipes and for the retweets and for the views of somebody who is not even in the room. We can't resist the urge to track all the dings and the likes and the thumbs up. And to me, it's evidence that more and more of our lives exist here more than anywhere else. It's just evidence to me. I've experienced this in my own life, and maybe the same is true for you. To me, it's just evidence that so much more of our lives exist right here than anywhere else. And when I thought more about this, our lives existing right here, when I thought more about this, all of a sudden, there were certain words of Jesus's that took on a whole new meaning for me, that I thought about in a whole new way. Here's what Jesus says to his closest friends in John chapter 15, verse 13. He says, "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for their friends." The more we connect online, the more we live our lives right here online every single day. So the question is, are we willing to lay down our lives, these lives, for our friends that are right across the street, right across the hall, right across the office space, or right across the table from us? Are we willing to lay down these lives? Yes, Jesus was quite possibly referring to even greater sacrifice, but maybe this is the one sacrifice that we need to make. Maybe this is the life that we need to be willing to lay down today for our friends or for our kids or for our spouse. Let's make the people that we're with every day feel like they are the most important people in the world. I think Jesus did. Right? In fact, in the course of this series and our conversation about this with our staff, our ministry assistant, Haley, she keeps asking the question, if Jesus were alive today, would he have a phone or would he be on social media? Right? It's kind of a fun question for us to consider. Jesus could do a whole lot of good with a platform online. So would he do it? Right? He could do a whole lot of good for what he is up to with that kind of platform online. So would he do it? Yes or no? This week, Haley emailed me her conclusion, at least for now. And here's what she said. She said, "The more I think about whether or not Jesus would have had a phone and social media, if he could have, the more I think he would have opted out. He was always paying attention to exactly what was in front of him. One thing and one person at a time, even though he had a huge calling and purpose and mission to accomplish. One thing, one purpose at a time." I think Haley's on to something. And so let's learn where it is and when it is that we could lay down our lives, that we could put down our phone for the sake of the people that Jesus puts in front of us. Here's the last thing I want to encourage you to do. If you're living for likes but feeling empty instead of longing for love, here's what I want to suggest for you. Stop praying for people and start praying with people. Stop praying for people and start praying with people. A few months ago, I invited a new pastor in town out to coffee. I still feel like the new guy in town, but when there was someone newer than me, I figured, you know what, I should reach out and extend a warm welcome. And so I did. And as we finished up coffee together, I asked him, how can I be praying for you and your family and your church right now? And he rattled off a few things that he could use prayer for. And I said, awesome, thanks for sharing that. Then there was kind of an awkward pause. And eventually he filled it by saying, how could I be praying for you and your family and your church? And I listed off a few things that he could be praying for, and he said, great, let me pray for you. And all of a sudden, I realized what the initial awkward pause was all about. I realized that he was expecting me to pray for him when I asked him, how could I pray for you? And you know what? He should have expected that, because I should have prayed for him right then and there. In my mind, I was just thinking, you know, well, when I pray later today or when I pray later this week, well, then I'd include him in those prayers. But what typically happens, you and I do this all the time. What typically happens? We don't do it. Right? How many times do we type or text or comment, praying for you? Hey, prayers for you and your family. Send in prayers. And yet we never ever take time to pray for someone. We got to quit doing that. We got to stop praying for people and start praying with people in our lives. Even if we do say a quick prayer on the other side of the screen, that's great. But how much more meaningful, how much more powerful could it be if we were to go pray with people more in our lives? Not for people, but maybe with people. Maybe some of you who are here, you're saying, hey, you know, I'm not quite the praying type yet, at least not out loud, or at least not around other people, right? Still, here's what I suggest. Try replacing thinking of you with standing by you. Hey, I'm here. Believing that there is power in our presence. Try replacing thinking of you with I'm standing by you right here, right now, in real life. Right? Let's quit sending texts and emails, which are fine. It's an okay way, but let's quit sending texts and emails and praying hand emojis when showing up, standing by, standing with, praying with would be so much more meaningful and so much more powerful. Right? When is the last time you showed up for and stood with someone that you needed, that you know needed love and support and encouragement? Right, 1 John 3:18, it says this: Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Right? There are other verses that say very similar things. Don't pretend to love one another. Actually do it. Right? That's what I'm getting at here today, folks. Real love that we are longing for in various places of our lives. It isn't just communicated really loudly and really visibly online. Sometimes it's just demonstrated personally with the people in our lives that need it most, right? God demonstrated his love for us by showing up in real life. And we have the opportunity to do the same thing in the lives of people in our sphere of influence every day. No matter how tempting it might be, no matter the instant gratification that we might find in a moment, our life, your life, my life, it's not about how many likes that we get. It's about how much love that we show. And Jesus himself acknowledged the power of this kind of love. John 13:35, he says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love will prove that you are my disciples. Notice that he doesn't say, hey, they're gonna know that you're my disciples by how many, you know, followers online you have. Notice he doesn't say, you know, they will know you are my disciples by how many likes you get. He doesn't say, you know, they will know that you are my disciples by how quickly you respond to emails. He doesn't even say that they will know that you are my disciples by how many Bible verses you post. He says they will know you by your love. We have to remember that the more we connect online, which is a great thing, the more we connect online, the harder it will be to find and develop connection in real life. The likes will be easier, but the intimacy and the genuine love for one another, it will not be the same, because love is not just communicated or text or emailed, right? It's demonstrated, and then it shows up in real life. Technology and the internet and the social media tools that we have, they're amazing, amazing tools of connectivity today. But let's make sure that they are enhancing our relationships and not replacing them, because there is power in our presence with one another. Let me pray. God, this is really a remarkable time in history to be living, right, with the tools that we have right at our fingertips. And we don't want to diminish these tools or talk down about this stuff. God, there really are some amazing tools and resources at our fingertips that have the potential to do a whole lot of good in the world. They have the ability to do amazing things for others in the world around us that quite possibly weren't possible at a different day and age, God. And so we give you thanks for what it is that technology and the internet and even social media allows us to do. But God, help us, show us, remind us where it is that all of these things are being used in ways that they were not intended for us. God, help us to see where it is maybe that the technology and social media is doing more harm than good. God, help us to see where all this stuff is replacing relationships in our life and not really enhancing them in really positive ways. God, I'm so grateful that you from the very beginning, in an effort to communicate this amazing gift of love for us, God, I thank you that from the very beginning you gave us the example, God. You demonstrated your love for us by showing up. You could have shouted it from heaven, but instead you showed up here on earth. And so, God, I'm praying that you would help us to know, and it's going to be different for everybody. God, I'm just praying that you would help us to know where it is, how it is, when it is that we need to show up for others in our life. God, help us to do the things that doesn't just get the likes, but that shows the love, that demonstrates love for one another, God. I pray that that's the currency that more and more we would start to deal in today. The social media currency of the world, it's likes and views and retweets, God. But I pray that more and more that followers of Jesus follow after you, God. I pray that today's currency would so much more be the love that exists between one another. The love that shows up. The love that gets engaged. The love that prays with people and stands by people in real life. So God, would you help us to be people who move the needle in this direction in the world that we're living in. God, and I pray that our families and our communities and our workplaces and our office spaces and our homes and our marriages would benefit because of it all. God, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus, who is the best and the first example of love showing up for us when we didn't even deserve it, God. We give you so much thanks, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being here today. A few things. If you need prayer today, there's going to be someone off to my right who is simply available to pray for you for whatever it is that you might need. And we are just hoping and praying that you would be back here next Sunday. It's baptism at Midcurrent. And so whether or not this is a step that you want to take, we would be thrilled to follow up with you to hear about that. Let us know. Find the forms online. But either way, plan to be here as we celebrate new life in Jesus. And we'll also be in week number 3 of this series, Selfie-Centered. And we hope to see you then. Have a great afternoon. God bless you.